This podcast is presented by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, safer, healthier people.
This podcast is a replay of a presentation given by Dr. Christine Sheedy, Associate Director of Communication Science at the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases. Her presentation was given during the Current Issues in Immunization Net Conference. Now let's hear Dr. Sheedy present Why It Takes More Than Science to Address Parental Concerns About Vaccines, Confessions of a New Mom.
Thank you to all of you who dialed in today. There are so many of you out there. I think we have over 200, maybe close to 300 who've dialed in. So that's understandable that there's tremendous amount of interest in this topic, given the heightened attention that vaccine safety issues have received over the past months. We've heard from many providers who say that they see parents daily who have concerns about vaccines and others who want to delay or defer vaccinations, and we know this is a challenging time for many of you on the front lines. So we're excited to be able to do this NET conference today, and we look forward to hearing your questions and your comments. I gave this presentation in March at the National Immunization Conference, and it was suggested that I present it again today, and I'm really happy to do so. Like all of you, I wear several hats in my life. Normally, in a forum like this, I would put on my professional hat and speak to you as a CDC public health communication specialist. But today, I'm putting on my mommy hat and will speak to you as someone who has recently had a baby, my second of two feisty and energetic boys, and who, of course, has recently had that baby vaccinated. Now, I know I don't represent all moms out there, but by taking a few minutes to share my story, I hope to shed a little bit of light on why we moms worry about vaccine risks and how open, honest, and empathic communication can really help to alleviate those concerns. So let me begin by introducing my sweet 11-month-old Connor. He was born in July. Like so many moms-to-be, I was vigilant during my pregnancy about taking my vitamins. I didn't drink a drop of alcohol or caffeine. I ate right. I did what all the doctors and books tell you to do during pregnancy, always thinking about the baby, every day, several times a day. Even before they're conceived, we moms start obsessing over keeping our babies healthy and safe. Then they finally arrive. When my first son was born, I really couldn't believe just the overwhelming, really, love I instantly felt for him. And with Connor, it was the same way. As babies do, he came into the world wrinkly and gooey, looking a bit like an alien. But to me, he was the most beautiful thing I had ever laid my eyes on. We took him home and entered that new baby universe that, you know, all of you parents out there are familiar with. It's a combination of severe sleep deprivation and constant feeding, burping and changing and rocking the baby. I was on maternity leave, and at that point, Connor and I were attached all of the time, and life was all about keeping him comfortable and content around the clock. Just before Connor's second birthday, I started to develop a bit of a knot in my stomach, thinking about the fact that in a few days I would have to take him for his doctor's appointment. I knew he'd be getting 5 vaccines, and I was already feeling a little bit anxious about it. That afternoon, a rare event occurred. The baby and my 3-year-old both napped at the same time, which is a great thing for a new mom, so hooray for me. I decided to ignore the laundry and ignore the dirty dishes and put on Oprah. She was introducing her guest for the day, Jenny McCarthy, and I thought to myself, okay, I like Jenny McCarthy. During my first pregnancy, someone gave me Ms. McCarthy's book, Belly Laughs, which was about her pregnancy, and I thought it was honest and funny. So at the time, I didn't know that she had written another book. Like I said, I was on maternity leave and in my own world. So I sat and watched Ms. McCarthy tell an emotional and really horrifying story about how her son, Evan, suffered a series of seizures and was ultimately diagnosed with autism. When she told Oprah that she learned most of what she knows about autism from the internet, I just knew where the conversation was going, and I was right. After the next commercial break, Oprah asked Ms. McCarthy about the cause of her son's autism, and then she said it, vaccines. By the time the show was over, I was honestly feeling a mix of emotions. I was angry that Oprah didn't have an actual autism expert on the show. I was disappointed that the CDC statement that was read on the show sounded so inappropriate and flat, particularly compared to Jenny McCarthy's story. But in addition to the anger and disappointment, I have to confess that that knot of anxiety in my stomach about taking Connor in for his shots was, yes, a little bit bigger. Now, many of you may be saying, come on, Chris, didn't you listen to what Jenny McCarthy said? There are holes and contradictions in her story. She herself stated that the signs that her son was different were always there. And I do know that. And having worked in the immunization program at CDC for many years, I also know the epi studies that we and others have done related to vaccines and autism. And I know how strong those studies are and how reassuring that science is. And I most certainly know that CDC has never covered up any vaccine safety findings, and that when we say we care about the health and well-being of children, it's not just a media talking point, it's the truth. I know all of that. I know the facts. I've written many of the CDC questions and answers and talking points and web content. So how could I, someone who promotes CDC's immunization recommendations for a living, have even the slightest seed of doubt or slightest concern about vaccinating my own child? Well, there are several reasons. Like many of you, over the years, I've spoken to so many parents who are convinced that vaccines had something to do with their child's autism. As a mother of a baby, their stories scare me, and their stories stay with me. I do remember them. When she told her story on Oprah, Jenny McCarthy mentioned her mother's intuition several times. She and other moms talk about how they just know. Again, this resonates with mothers, including me, because I too feel very in tune to my kids. And while intuition can be wrong, it can also be right. So I don't easily dismiss a mother's intuition. I also know that truth changes as science advances. And that while the biggest and best population-based studies have found no association between vaccines and autism, they don't rule out the possibility that maybe vaccines somehow contributed to some of these kids' conditions. We just don't know for sure. So I do say a little prayer before Connor gets his vaccines that he will be like the vast majority of babies who get vaccinated, enjoy the protection that it affords him, and have no problems following vaccines. And worries about autism aside, it's just heart-wrenching to have to take your precious, delicate baby, lay them out on an exam table, and watch as they get multiple shots. When I first went through this with my oldest son, I really wasn't expecting it to be as traumatic for me as it was. But those needles look so big next to his tiny legs, and I had never heard him cry out in pain like that before, so it was very emotional for me, and it's a memorable event for parents. Finally, I have to say that my own mother, whose input I trust and value, contributed to my worries because I spoke to her the evening the Oprah show aired, and she asked me if I really thought it was a good idea to let Connor get all those shots. And I think a lot of moms out there hear the same thing from the grandmas. Naturally, I did take Connor in to get his vaccines. Unlike some moms out there, I am familiar with vaccine-preventable diseases. By virtue of my job, I do hear about those cases and those outbreaks. So my very strong belief in vaccine benefits, and frankly, my fear of diseases like pertussis and measles and influenza are far greater than my worries about vaccine safety. The doctor's visit itself was unpleasant as expected. I mean, let's face it, 5 vaccines is a lot. But Connor calmed right down after just a few minutes. I took him home and he slept and ate and was fine until later that day. And I don't remember exactly how many hours it was after he'd been vaccinated, but he started crying and he continued to cry. And it wasn't his hungry cry or his tired cry or any other cry that I had heard come out of him before. And I just couldn't console him. He cried and he cried, and it wasn't just the crying that scared me. He was arching his back, and at times he was so tired that he fell asleep, but never for more than a few minutes, and then he sort of jerked himself awake, and the crying would start again. I tried telling myself that this happens sometimes and he would be fine. I even got the DTaP VIS out of the diaper bag just so I could confirm for myself that persistent crying for a few hours or more is a known side effect. And I'll confess that even though I've looked at that VIS hundreds of times, it made me feel better to see it in that moment. Just as I started digging through my things to find the phone number of one of my CDC pediatrician friends, Connor stopped crying and he slept. He woke up hungry after a good sleep and he was fine. I was exhausted, but he was fine, and of course I was relieved. I want to fast forward to November and Connor's 4-month doctor's visit for a moment. After our experience following his previous round of shots, you can imagine that I was more nervous than before about bringing him in for another 5 vaccines. But I bundled him up and we headed to the pediatrician's office. That day we saw a pediatrician who was new to the practice. I didn't mention to her anything about where I worked or what I do. So she examined Connor, and when she was done examining him, she said to me, "Well, Connor's going to be getting several vaccines today," and I told her, "I know." Her reply to that was a bit unexpected. She said to me, "You seem a little bit concerned about that. Is there anything on your mind?" So I told her about what happened after Connor's last round of vaccinations. When I told her that he cried for a long time and was inconsolable, she asked me exactly how long he cried for and questioned me about how he was crying. When I told her that Connor would fall asleep for a moment but then have, you know, twitching motions that woke him up, she again asked me questions to get more specific information about what happened and what I observed. Was the jerking repetitive, she asked? No, I told her. Her eye contact, her posture, all of her nonverbal communication made me feel like she was really listening closely to me. I have to emphasize how reassuring this dialogue was to me. I really felt like this is a doctor who truly cares. After questioning me about Connor's crying episode, she said to me, "Well, that must have been very scary for you. I can understand why you're concerned about vaccinating Connor today. But based on everything you've described to me," she said, "it doesn't sound like Connor had seizures after his last round of vaccines, and I would feel very comfortable giving him all his shots today. But," she said, "if you are very worried about this, we can talk about giving him some of his vaccines today and bringing him back for the rest." Again, I am wearing my mommy hat speaking to you now, and I have to say that the empathy this pediatrician expressed to me and her willingness to give me some control over the decision really helped to put my mind at ease. On the next slide, you'll see a number of points and tips that I have shared with many audiences over the years about risk communication. The advice may seem elementary, but it really is a big deal, and it applies to communication that takes place between a provider and a parent in an exam room, as well as the public communication that we do at CDC at the national level, and that's done at state and local levels as well. Good, open, transparent communication is critical to building trust. But back to my story. Though I was given the option of delaying some of Connor's vaccines that day, I did choose to have him fully vaccinated that day. He had another little bit of a crying episode, but it wasn't nearly as intense and didn't last as long. I will make sure that Connor is fully vaccinated. I know the dangers of vaccine-preventable diseases, and I know the safety profiles of our vaccines. I've had the honor of getting to know moms like Julie Moisey, who lost her precious baby boy to a vaccine-preventable disease, so I would never consider not vaccinating Connor. Still, before every immunization visit, I will have that knot of anxiety in my stomach. But now I will make a point of scheduling his visits with that caring doctor who is able to loosen that knot a bit. I want to thank everybody for listening.
To access the most accurate and relevant health information that affects you, your family, and your community, please visit www.cdc.gov.